So, how do I know the difference? How do I know if I'm walking in the Spirit or not? I think Galatians goes on to tell us, it's kind of long, but you can take it. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and you ready for this? And the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, as you look at that list, are there things in there that are your regular practice? I mean, most of us have probably, since becoming Christians, done some of these things. Correct? Yeah. Except my brother over here. So, but is it your practice? If it's your practice and you think you're still cool with God, you're extremely deceived. But, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Do you see any kind of a consistent fruit of these fruits in your life? You might think you wish you had more peace, or you wish you had more love, or you were more long-suffering, but are those fruit in your life at all? That means you're walking in the Spirit if you're seeing those fruits happening in your life. And we can all improve, correct? But we don't improve by trying to improve. We improve by letting the Spirit live through us, by walking with Him. The only way to truly walk victoriously and free is to walk in the Spirit. The only way to walk in the Spirit is to stay full of the Spirit. The only way to get full of the Spirit is to ask Him to fill you and receive it by faith, and then stay under the spout where the glory's coming out. Amen. My problem is I'm under the spout where the glory is coming out, and sometimes I go, oh, that looks interesting. And then I wonder, how come I just got in the flesh? Being born again by the Holy Spirit and being baptized in the Holy Spirit are two different things. I don't care what you were taught growing up. You did not get filled with the Holy Spirit when you got saved. That is something that happens to you subsequent to your born-again experience. It might happen 3 minutes after your born-again experience, but there is an experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you cannot point to an experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to go get on your prayer bones and ask the Lord to fill you with His Spirit. He's not holding out on you. Amen? Spirit-filled worship and preaching is wholly different from non-Spirit-filled worship and preaching. A non-Spirit-filled person and a Spirit-filled person can sing the same songs, preach the same sermons, and one will be dead and one will be full of life. The Lord showed me this many years ago. I was in a hotel room, and on the TV was a worship team of a large church of a certain denomination, and they were singing. They all looked perfect. They all sang perfect tone and pitch. The music was perfect. The sound was perfect. The set was perfect. It was perfect and dead as a doornail. These were some of the same songs we were singing at our church that I got so much life out of. And yet they sang it. It was empty and boring. And I thought, Lord, I love those songs. What are they doing to them? What's wrong? And the Spirit spoke to me and said, they are not filled with the Spirit. That was the difference. I don't care how good you are, how gifted you are. If you don't have the Spirit, you don't have much. That goes for me too. So the Spirit of the Lord wants you to experience freedom in every realm of life. Spiritually, He wants you to have abundant life, not dead religion. Living worship, not dead ritual. Grace, not law. Holiness, not sinfulness. God-pleasing, not man-pleasing. He wants you to be free mentally, from thinking failure to thinking victoriously, to thinking I'm not worthy, to thinking I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, to from being Mr. Negative to Sister Positive, from thinking carnally to thinking with the mind of Christ, which you've been giving. And He wants you to prosper and have freedom emotionally, to go from living in fear to walking in faith, from depression to joy, from anxiety to peace, from bitterness to living in love, from emptiness to fulfillment, from being unsettled all the time to contentment in Christ. And He also wants to give you freedom from the bondage of your own will. He wants you to go from rebellion to obedience, from being a control freak to releasing control to God. You know, some people say, I'm a control freak, and they're kind of proud of it. You shouldn't be. From being blown about to standing firm, from being controlled by Satan's circumstances or others to following God's plan for your life. Well, Pastor, if I'm so free, how come I feel so boxed in? I learned this a long time ago. Any place I'm not totally free is a place I'm not totally yielded to the Spirit. Simple. If you're not free, you're not yielded to the Spirit in that realm of your life. Houdini was the most famous escape artist in history. And this guy would go around to different cities, and they'd put him in all kinds of situations and traps and handcuffs and straitjackets and locked rooms and everything, and he'd always get out of it. And one time, he didn't. He was put in a jail cell. They said, now, nobody's ever broken out of this jail cell, and we don't think you'll be able to get out. And so they put him in there in a straitjacket and handcuffs, and very short time, he was out of the handcuffs and the straitjacket, and he went to work on the lock. And he worked and worked and worked and worked and worked. He could not get the door open. He worked and worked and worked. And finally, in just frustration and exhaustion, he just kind of did that and leaned against the door, and it came open. They had never locked it. That's what we do all the time. Oh, I got to figure out how to do this thing. And we're just working, 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 trying so hard to be good Christians. And God says, would you just relax and walk in the Spirit? That's all you got to do. Just take the next step. I'm taking this step in front of you. Follow it. But I don't know what God wants me to do in 2028. Don't worry about it. Jesus will probably be back before then. What's He saying to you to do today? How can you walk in the Spirit today? If you walk in the Spirit today, guess what? You're in the perfect will of God. God is looking for some people who are not saying, what's God done for me lately? He wants people who are saying, here am I, Lord. Chain me to your will. Bind me to your altar. Addict me to your presence. Imprison me in your love. These are the freest, happiest, most fearless people on planet Earth. We should be the binders, not the bound. We should be loosed enough to loose. We should be free enough to free. We should be liberated enough to liberate. We are God's military occupation force, and we've been told to occupy until he arrives. He has given you his spirit to make a difference in you and in the whole world. We make it this great big thing where we think we have to do some huge, mighty work. But it's really all about having the Spirit, tuning into the Spirit, and obeying his promptings. Give you an example. A missionary on furlough told this story while visiting his home church. He said, while serving at a small field hospital in Africa, every 2 weeks I traveled by bicycle through the jungle to a nearby city for supplies. On one of these journeys, I arrived in the city where I planned to collect money from a bank, purchase medicine and supplies, and then begin my two-day journey back to the field hospital. Upon arrival in the city, I observed two men fighting, one of whom had been seriously injured. I treated him for his injuries and at the same time talked to him about the Lord Jesus Christ. I then traveled 2 days, camping overnight, and arrived home without incident. 2 weeks later, I repeated my journey. Upon arriving in the city, I was approached by the young man I had treated, and he told me that he had known I carried money and medicines. He said, some friends and I followed you into the jungle, knowing you would camp overnight. We planned to kill you and take your money and drugs. But just as we were about to move into your camp, we saw that you were surrounded by 26 armed men. 26 armed men. Armed guards. At this, I laughed and said, I was certainly all alone out in that jungle campsite. The young man pressed the point, however, and said, no, sir, I was not the only person to see the guards. My five friends also saw them, and we all counted them. It was because of those guards that we were afraid and left you alone. At this point in the sermon, one of the men in the congregation jumped to his feet and interrupted the missionary and asked if he could tell him the exact date that this happened. The missionary told the congregation the date. Then the man who interrupted told him this story. On the night of your incident in Africa, it was morning here, and I was preparing to go play golf. I was about to putt when I felt the urge to pray for you. In fact, the urging of the Lord was so strong that I called men in this church to meet with me here in the sanctuary to pray for you. Would all of those men who met with me on that day stand up? The men who had met together to pray that day stood up. The missionary wasn't concerned with who they were. He was too busy counting how many men he saw. There were 26. 26. Now let me ask you something. Who was the hero in this story? The missionary? No. Well, all missionaries are heroes. The hero was the guy putting on the golf course. The hero was the guy that didn't say, okay, God, when I get done with my game, I'll go pray for him. It wasn't the guy that, you know, Lord, I already paid for my cart. You know, I need to at least get this hole done. He responded to the prompting of the Holy Spirit promptly. Do you respond promptly to the promptings of the Holy Spirit? Yes, it's true, you can do weird stuff, and you can miss it sometimes. But I honestly think if you sincerely are seeking to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit with a pure heart, you can't miss it. You got to be willing to admit that you did miss it, but you probably won't. Last point, and I'll be fairly short. But it doesn't matter because God's in control of how long this goes, right? The Spirit transforms us from glory to glory. Verse 18. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, meaning the image of Christ, from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. In other words, as your freedom increases, you are transformed more and more into the image of Christ. Well, Pastor, how's that work? You must get born again. Doesn't matter what you do or try to do. If you don't get born again, nothing's going to help. That's step one. You got to get born again first. Secondly, you must get filled with the Spirit. And thirdly, you must look in the mirror. What are you talking about? Didn't it say, we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord? James 1:23 sheds light on it. It says, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, which is the word, and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So as you walk in the Spirit and obediently look into his word, you are not just adjusted a little bit. You are being fundamentally transformed. The Greek word is metamorpho, from which we get metamorphosis. You are being metamorphosized. You're being changed into a whole nother you, the you were always meant to be. You're literally, the process is like a caterpillar becoming a butterfly, a seed becoming a tree, a egg turning into some kind of creature that doesn't look anything like the egg. It's happening in stages by the Word and by the Spirit from glory to glory to glory to glory. That's why some of you people that think, well, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. You can just stay home and I can listen online. Those are all carnal reasonings. You're not going to be transformed living that way. You might still be saved. You might still go to heaven, but there's no transformation happening in your life. I don't care if that made you mad because I just applied for Medicare, so I'm old. Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Word and the Spirit will transform your mind and your soul, everything about you. Even our physical bodies will eventually be transformed. Philippians 3:20, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. I'm going to have a body just like Jesus has one right now, a glorified body. I won't be Jesus. A lot of people say that, but not me. But I will have a body exactly like his. What I am today is nothing like I was when I got saved 49 years ago, and nothing like it will be when my metamorphosis is complete. If you've ever felt unworthy or like a worm and not a man, you are. If you feel like you'll never measure up, cheer up, you won't. You'll never be transformed by trying harder. You're transformed as you draw closer by the Spirit and surrender to the process. Did you know that I am a member of the true trans community? But I am not a woman trapped in a man's body. Neither is anyone else that says that. I'm an eternal being trapped in a temporal body. But one day, very, very soon, without hormone therapy or any effort on my part, I will receive my glorified body and rule and reign with Christ forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. That's way better than the other stuff. Worship team can start coming. I want to say this last thing. When God called me to preach, I had only been saved about a month. And I was a 16-year-old punk who had blown his mind on LSD and every other hard drug I could pop in my mouth or shoot in my veins. My vocabulary had been reduced to wow. I could say it backwards, but it was bad. I had killed millions of brain cells and I only had about 100 left. But God called me anyway. And I was in such disbelief when he called me that I could actually do it that I ran from him for 3 miserable years. And I didn't get any better at all for those 3 years. I might have grown a few more brain cells back, but I didn't get any better at all until I quit running and turned and said yes to God and surrendered to the process. So I've been preaching about 45 years now. And someday I'm going to get good at it. You have to surrender everything about you to the Holy Spirit and to the process that he wants to take you through. You don't know better. You really don't. In fact, everything you think you need to do that is not in alignment with what the Spirit's leading to you, that's all ruin and destruction. It'll set you back from becoming who you're supposed to be. Our whole nation is in an identity crisis. We need to know who we are in Christ, know what he's called us to, and be those people. Because all this nonsense all around us that we're hearing, that we can't even believe, people believe it, that's all going to come crashing down on people's heads very shortly. And they're going to be looking around to say, is there any truth anywhere? Is there anybody that I can talk to that will help me out of this devastation I find myself in? And you need to be the one that says, okay, come here to me. Let me share with you how God can live his life through you. People might not like you now, but I found over years of people not liking me for stuff I say and do, that in their day of crisis, you're the one they pick the phone up and call. You're the one they come to. You're the one they say, would you please pray for me? My husband has cancer. My child has died. You're the one, because they know in their heart you're the only one that has any real answers. If you've got real answers, make sure you've got real answers. Okay, bow your head. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The young lady I'm going to baptize can be dismissed. Father, we stand before you today, a totally needy people. Without you, we can do nothing. We can't even tie our shoes if you don't help us. Like the old song says, we can't even walk without you holding my hand. So God, today we come before you and ask you, God, to make us a righteous people, a consecrated people, a holy people. Most of all, a people that hears your voice and obeys your voice and walks in your spirit. And as you're sitting before the Lord this morning, is there anyone in the room that would say, I don't even know if I'm born again. I don't even know if I'm really saved. I don't know if I died right now, whether or not I'd go to heaven. I'm here to tell you, you can know, and you can know before you leave this room. And if that's you and you'd like to experience the salvation of God and be born again, Not join a church or work really hard to be a good Christian, but be saved and know that you know that you know that you're going to heaven. If you would like that in your life, raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Just lift your hand up nice and high. We can pray a simple prayer and you can be saved. You can know that you're going to heaven. If you don't know, you're probably not. Anybody in the room? I'll give it a minute. Okay, if you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, by that I mean maybe you've been born again and you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, but you'd like to. Or maybe you've been filled with the Spirit, but you just got off somewhere and you need to be refilled. I want to invite you to stand to your feet. I want to pray over you. If that applies to you, there's one. Anybody else this hungry? There's some more. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay, as I see these folks standing, whatever your need might be, we're going to sing this closing song and baptize somebody. But we're going to have a few counselors up here at the altar that will pray with you for whatever it is you stood for. You just come and tell them what you want, you want God to do. And we probably need some over on this side too. And there come a couple. And if you hunger and thirst for Him, He'll never, ever let you down. So you come, we're going to baptize. Everybody else just stand and we'll sing. Goodness of God.
yes, you have. All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Yes, I will sing of the goodness of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't want these people to quit praying, but we're going to shift and do a water baptism. You can be seated if you need to be or want to be. And it's been such a great day in the house of the Lord. I needed today so bad. I think I preached me happy. So we have a young lady coming, and Annabelle is going to come down with us. Just come on down. This is Chelsea Nicole Johnson. And so, Chelsea, why do you want to get baptized today?
Because I feel like God has, like, impacted my life, and I feel like I was changed at Camp Crestwood.
Praise God. So she wrote on her card, I always have them write down the approximate date of their salvation. She wrote 6/28/22. So she got saved at camp, right?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Praise God. If no other reason for sending your kids to camp than that, that's worth it. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So anything else you want to share?
God is good.
Amen. Amen. All right. So, turn this way. So, Chelsea, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God?
Yes, sir.
You believe he died for your sins?
Mm-hmm.
You believe he rose from the dead?
Yeah.
Are you going to serve him all the days of your life?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Chelsea Johnson, Chelsea Nicole Johnson, because of your faith and confession of the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. We had another young man, Zayden, who was going to get baptized this morning. They had to take him to the emergency room last night, and he's very sick. So be praying for Zayden. He wants to do this really bad, too. And stand with me. Close your eyes, sing it one more time. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Yes, I will sing of the goodness of God. One quick admonition to those who came up to be filled with the Spirit, more of the Spirit, whatever you came for. Whatever happened when you pray, keep in mind that the pursuit of God is a lifelong passion. And we'll have things happen to us and things not happen to us. We'll have mountaintop experiences and valley experiences, but just keep pursuing God. If you've been prayed for and didn't actually speak in tongues yet, that's okay. Don't worry about that. Just keep seeking God. It'll come. And I've known people that woke up, they're in bed, they woke up speaking in tongues. They're taking a shower, they start speaking in tongues. You don't have to be in a church service for it to happen. It can happen anywhere, and it happens different for everybody. Amen? But the Holy Spirit is real, and you can walk with Him every day. Father, I pray over your church. I pray as we go out in the highways and byways today, give us eyes to see those people, Lord, that make light of the feast that they're invited to, and help us to be winsome. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.